Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Welcome to another episode of the Made Musings podcast. Today, my guest is somebody who is a decorated combat veteran with multiple deployments. And during his 31 years of service, he served in nine different countries. But before that, it was a kid who had to repeat classes, and that's just because he had acute learning disabilities. So I'm gonna say welcome and thank you for joining me. His name is Jason, and then I'll just leave him to get us started with a bit of background information about how he's lived this life and being a veteran and everything he's done in between. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm honored to be on your show. And you're right. That's 31 years of service to the military and the military, the United States Army. And I joined from the bottom, age 17, and I went up through the ranks to retire at the rank of lieutenant colonel, which would be a senior manager. Everything was at the bottom, age 17. I was diagnosed early on. I don't know if it was dyslexia. I don't know if it was autism, but I failed the first grade. Reading and writing are my worst subjects, even though I've got a great book out, A Soldier Against All Odds. And learning disabilities was just one odd. That was just one odd. So I had many odds. So I had A Soldier Against All Odds. I got another book out, Out of the Uniform, Back into Civilian Life. And that is a veteran self-help guide. I am a writer, even though I failed English. English is my worst subject, period. No doubt. Always been that way. And even Donna that's on, she probably knows that I had trouble reading and writing, but I usually didn't at that time when I was writing the book about 3 or 4 years ago. I was going through a hellacious vomiting time. I almost went into the hospital because of all the flashbacks and the stress of sitting down behind a computer for long hours. Blood clots had formed in my lungs and legs. I got pneumonia. I was scheduled to die in February 2021 in San Antonio. And it was really about the stress that I was undergoing on the process of the book. And so, of course, we had a cold weather event and that gave me pneumonia. So, yeah, I can pretty much answer any questions you want to. That's a good introduction.
Oh, amazing. You know, I mean, one thing you said is that you were scheduled to die. No one is ever scheduled to die. You know,
that's what the doctors told me. When I made it out, they didn't know how in the hell I survived. They don't know how I got out of it. My body reacted good to the blood thinners that they gave me and to the antibiotics of the pneumonia. I have always worked out a lot, and I think that helped. I had, you know, expanded blood vessels and things of that nature, and that I think that helped out.
That's so good to know. You know, you're talking about all those things that you went through and being an army combat. But at the age of 7, you were diagnosed with a disability that made just a few people in the whole world get an early diagnosis. And that having to go from repeating first grade to becoming a writer, I mean, multiple books, you know, you've authored so many books now. I mean, you said it's like you're having a diarrhea with the book writing, you know? So, I mean, this is great, you know?
And I'm working on a third book. More importantly than that, this was a dirty little secret for me. It was a dirty little secret for the family. Everybody's got secrets. And I felt that it could be an inspirational message. I mean, you don't go around saying you got a disability or a problem. Where I come from, you don't. But I thought that I had problems in education. I still do. And I have processing of information has always been a difficult task for me. I worked through those things. I still got the problem, but I just sort of work compensated. I'm not sure if you've ever seen somebody that doesn't have a hand, but they get around so well, you didn't recognize. Well, I did. I thought you had two hands. No, I only have one hand because they get around well. I kind of demonstrated compensation techniques, I guess. And Donna Pifferman's on, just a prayer for her and thoughts for her as she's undergoing some problems with cancer. So that's all I'm going to say for that. And if she wants to text any questions in there, I'm sure Mead can answer them. But I wanted to put that out before I go into any other questions.
Yeah. Don't know if you want to put on your video, your short. I mean, you are able to.
I'll let her.
You can join us. I mean, it's a free discussion, really.
Yeah, I'll let her. I'll let her do what she wants to. She can get on video or she can get on chat. Either one, it's okay. No problem.
Anyway, I mean, whichever way is easier for you. I mean, I'm open to it. Okay. And coming back to you, Jason, you've served in 5 different countries. Can you share some of the exciting times that you had in those years?
Yeah, I served in Germany, Afghanistan. That was the war, Afghanistan. Twice in El Salvador, Canada, South Korea. And I even went down to other places that I can't talk about. But really, the best of times, the best of foods that I've ever had in my life were kimchi. I'm a kimchi connoisseur. I'm a Korean food delicacy person. I know what's good. I know what's not because I spent so much time over there in South Korea. So those, and then opening your eyes to different cultures and foods and women and everything else. It just sort of just like, I learned more overseas than I did in 3 college degrees. I got a bachelor's and 2 master's, even though I've been diagnosed as a problem learner. But learning overseas when you're walking around smelling, tasting, and sampling, whatever, there's just something that just I enjoyed it very much. And also, you know, they don't speak English that well, and they don't look at me as an oddity character. So I feel in place overseas in ways that maybe not other people do, because I feel that I'm accepted. They just think, well, he's an American, or he's a gringo, or he's a white guy. So I feel more at home in ways that I can't explain.
I mean, yeah, I understand that, you know, sometimes when you are in a place where you feel you should be out of place and you just feel completely at home. That's something that everybody that has to travel abroad has to adapt to as an immigrant. I mean, I'm an immigrant where I am right now, but I've lived there and I've felt so much comfort and I've been really adapted to life here and being here, living here, everything. My life is defined by what I do here every day rather than my life in my previous residence, if you get what I mean. So yes. Coming back to you, I think, what is the one thing that always kept you going when you are faced with a battle or a difficult decision to make?
I've always been a positive character, a positive or optimistic person, regardless of every situation. As you can imagine, I don't like news. I don't like the 6 o'clock news. I don't like that. I want my, and if there's a negative person trying to bring me down, which was only 2 days ago, I get pissed. I don't want to be negative and I can't go that route. And I don't want people to bring me down into, it's okay to call, you know, talk about your problems. But what I'm saying is if someone's saying, I don't like this, especially if they're talking about politics, then it just brings me down and I don't want to go that route. I want to stay in my mind of optimism and positive thinking because that's how I made it, man. That's how I did it. And really, you're always looking for the good and something out of whatever is happening and then moving forward that way. And failure and pain were introduced to me early in life. Fell in first grade. You know, I had osteomyelitis when a left knee dissolved. It was a bone disease. I was 9 years old. I also grew up with a bit of grit or a resiliency that I had early just because of failing those issues as a kid. Of course, I had a great father who said that grit was good and that makes you strong or whatever. And so, of course, at the time, you're like, no, I don't don't want any grit. I don't want any pain. But I kind of was developed that way. And the only thing I had better about me than other folks was the grit. A lot of these folks who come in with great grades and perfect education, all these, you know, officers, they're good. I mean, they're good. They're top notch. But I had that little bit of more grit than they had. And I think that's the only advantage I had.
To say you have an advantage with osteomyelitis is something I've never really heard about, you know. Well, could you describe how that osteomyelitis impacted on your everyday life at that time?
Don, I had a question. Is your positivity definitely in grit? I'm 58 years old.
I know it was a long time ago.
So, you know. But my left leg is, so you know, what happened at the age of 9, I bumped my knee. I got a rare infection in the bone and it blew the knee up, really did. I mean, the thing dissolved. My left knee is about 9 years younger than my body. I'm 58, but my left knee is probably around 48 or maybe 49. So it kind of went away and came back. And I had to get these injections into it at the age of 9 or 10, and they were very, very painful. It was back in 1974, 75. So I worked on my legs. I worked on my physical fitness. That became okay. A good question a lot of people ask me is, if you've got these physical deformities and if you've got this mental issue or intellectual issue that you're talking about, how did you get into a professional organization? That's a good question. That's come up before. But what I did was, you have to pass a test to get into the Army, right? You got to pass an entrance exam. I lied to the military about my body.
And, did you?
I did. I lied to them and I said, I'm fine. I just check all the blocks that I'm okay. That's how I got in physically. Intellectually.
Yeah, that was what I was coming to, because you said I wanted to know how that impacted on you and then how you got from there to where you are now.
Well, I worked on my legs, the muscles around.
And then
the
you lied.
I lied. Well, I lied to them. And that's, I lied to the Army that I joined. I just checked the box and said, I'm okay. As far as I'm concerned, that's none of their business anyway.
I wouldn't advise anybody to do that right now.
No, the thing is, college was out of the question. There was no doubt I couldn't go to college, according to the experts. So the only other option where I come from is join the military. How am I going to get into the military? I got to pass a test. I got to do physical. Well, so I lied about the physical part. I got in. All right. But I don't know the answer to the question on the entrance exam, the written test, because I know I think they just signed me in. I just think they just wanted some numbers and they just maybe I really don't believe passed. I really don't.
So. Oh my God. Oh, that's something else. I mean, just slipping through the fingers.
See, it was an active duty service. Normal. It was National Guard. They used to call them the nasty girls. Sometimes they call them a no-goes. We were a less than best organization, but once you get your foot in the door, you're in the door. So I just exploited that and then eventually went on to active duty. So I was in the reserves, the National Guard force. We were considered the no-goes, the nasty girls. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. And coming back to your time in the Army, does that affect you now? Because you said there's sometimes that you have to go to the hospital for some treatment. How did the time in the Army when you served, how does that impact on your mental health right now?
I would say the post-traumatic stress would be the worst thing. I do a lot of podcasts like you're helping me now get expressions in the story. Yeah, that helps me out. Finding a purpose in life right now, it's books. It could change. Who knows? I'll go wherever the purpose is. Having a purpose, having some goals and setting and stuff. Physical fitness, definitely. I have to do that. And just being as healthy as you can. But it's a management technique of the trauma that we go through. And you just have to utilize. So a lot of this post-traumatic stress stuff, you may have when you go to a restaurant, you got a menu. That's kind of how it is. You got to choose is it riding bikes? Is it fly fishing? Is it going to the sauna? Is it the gym? You might want to just try things out. What works for you may not work for me. And it could be meditation. It could be deep breathing. And there's so many of them out there. You just got to pick your tool from the tool chest to use. Yeah.
Donna says, with celebration of independence, does the fireworks affect you now?
No, not because I'm prepared for it. In other words, if I know that they're happening, that's fine. So if I say, okay, this is...
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Firework day, I'm fine. If there's a backfire of a car, oh, that shocks me. If there is something I don't expect, then that shocks me. And I just have to, okay, think and stop and breathe and things will be all right. So I do react to loud sounds very badly. So sometimes when I sleep, if I'm near a busy road or something, I will put earplugs when I go to sleep or things of that nature. So I'm pretty okay with that if I know that it's coming. Yeah.
Okay. And I would want to talk about the time in the army again, because you said you like to get in. Do you regret doing that?
No, I don't. I grew up with a person who says you got to win at all costs. Of course, I lied to get in, right? So what I'm saying is, like, no, lying to get into the military was just, that's the only thing I could do. I'm in a survival mode. What job am I going to get? What career am I going to get? Well, it ain't going to be the college, even though I do got 3 college degrees. And I said, well, I have to go to the military. Once I got into the military, then that opened other doors and gave me more self-belief that I don't care about what the experts and the tests say. I'm going to go to college because I went through all this hell inside the Army. I feel I can go to college because even though you say I can't, there's a way. I found ways around things were kind of different, I say. Right? If you've got, like, a lot of people look, okay, you have to go this path. I didn't think that way. I still don't think that way today. I can go around different areas. I can go around different types of ways to get to the goal. And usually, my mother, when I was, so there, my mother called me not normal. That's what she said. Your son, you're not. And then my drill sergeant, he just called me crazy. He said, hey, crazy, get over here. So those were terms, the labels. You're not normal. You're crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was the way my thought processing was. I was, if I'm micromanaged, if someone's trying to tell me to do this and this and this, it kind of like stirs up my, I got to have creativity a little bit. I got to have myself to do my own journey in the creativity of solving that problem or getting to this goal.
And then would you say your creativity is what is inspiring you to write right now?
I did the first book, Soldier Against All Odds, and that hit number one. It did really well. I almost died doing it. And I got a relationship with publishers and ghostwriters and helpers. So I got a good relationship. So I just went ahead and produced a second book. And then now we're working on a third book on what to do in a wicked workplace. And it's going to be about toxic leaders. That third one's coming out on August the 15th.
So tell me more about the first book where you said you almost died doing it.
Yeah. Donna that's listening, she definitely knows, because what I was doing, I was working for the Centers for Disease Control. And again, I was sitting down for long hours, that which I don't normally do. I told you I like to exercise, but this time I wasn't. I was doing two things. I was on a deployment, working and sitting down, and then also working on my book too. And I was stressing. And it was a combination of the stress with the sitting down for long hours, which formed blood clots that went into my legs, my lungs, and I got pneumonia. At that same time, we had a big snowstorm that went throughout Texas. The plumbing went out, the lights, heating, and then I was getting cold, which I don't normally get cold. And my wife was saying, I was saying, I'm cold. Women are always colder than men, it seems like.
Of course.
Older than she was. And I said, there's something wrong with me. She says, yeah, there is something wrong with you. You're mentally ill is what's wrong with you. But I was dying. I was dying. Really, I was going through a slow death. And then eventually I was able to get to the hospital. And when I put my finger on that pulsometer at the emergency room, all hell broke loose in the hospital and I became number one priority case. And they did a very good job, let's say. I went into the intensive care unit for 3 days. And then I got out of there and they couldn't believe that I made it. I had end of life procedures done, the DNR, the do not resuscitate, and the obituary and all those things we had prepared for. And the only thing I wanted was my ghostwriter to go and get this damn book published. I said, get the thing published. You need to promise me that. That's the only thing I want. And he said, no, you're not going to die, because I was in the ICU. I could still use my cell phone there. That was a hell of a thing to happen. You know?
Oh, yeah. I think Donna says Jason was in ICU texting me like nothing was wrong. Yeah. You were pretending that everything was okay.
Oh, yeah. I was in ICU. Yeah. I definitely. They couldn't believe it. How can you be in ICU about to die and you're still a full-time employee? And I may have been logging on from the ICU. I don't know. It was a hell of an experience. My body just reacted very well and it came back really well. Very well.
Oh, God. I mean, you seem to have all sorts of things going on at different times, but you got through it anyway. It's like there's a saying I saw on your website that says you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. And that's by Maya Angelou. That's what I really find inspiring about your story, because you've gotten through so many things, but you always have a way out. You always have a survival strategy. And I mean, life is about keeping your spirits up, your hopes high, and living for the next minute. And that seems to be what you've done all your life, and giving strength to others as you're doing that with Donna. She's enjoying this chat. I mean, I hope this will actually inspire her. I've been in ICU twice. I've been in coma twice. I'm a living testimony that life is for the living. Whatever you decide to do with your life, that's what happens to you. You know, if doctors may say you're going to die, but if you decide you're not dying, like you said, they said you were going to die at some point, but you kept things going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were not supposed to say that. You had a good point. Hmm. They were not supposed to say you're going to die. Hmm. So what he did, it was a doctor that was off duty, and he privately told me outside the boundaries of the hospital HIPAA, there's HIPAA rules or whatever, outside the rules of the hospital. He says, you know what? I want to let you know that it's going to be a bad death. You need to sign the DNR, but I'm don't. And so it was sort of like a private conversation that, and I know that it was not probably supposed to be told to me, but it made me feel comfortable. It made me look and prepare a little bit that that's what's coming. Well, I'm no dummy anyway. I kind of knew blood clots in the lungs and legs. not a good thing. And they said it was throughout the body. So yeah. They said there are many of them throughout. And I said, okay. All right. I understand. It's like, and he said, so.
And for these blood clots, were you placed on blood thinners and all that?
Yeah, I was on a IV blood thinner, and then pneumonia. I had pneumonia as well. And so I had all kind of tubes sticking out of me. And, that's kind of how that was.
When you're in ICU, actually, you have all sorts of tubes going on down your nose, down your throat, down your pipes, down everything. I've had multiple organ failure in the past. So that's like goes on. Let's just go back to your books. What was the inspiration?
This is dedicated to my father. He was poor white trash. Like, we're talking about stealing food trash. He came from the backwoods. There's no toilet, no plumbing. He came and he was kind of like an orphan that was passed around people in the Spartanburg County, South Carolina, near Fingerville, South Carolina. So I wanted to dedicate it to him, have a legacy for him and me. All the stories and all the things that I went through, put it in one book that would be inspirational to others. And that's the reason another reason I wrote it is because everybody was like, how in the hell did you get through college? How did dumbass like you do all that you did? And it surprised me. I didn't expect all these things to occur. I kept moving forward and just being optimistic and positive on things. And that, and the grit, we talked about that. So, but no, even today, the kids that I run around with, the friends that I had from, they're just like, wow. And they kept asking me before the book was, how did you do that? And so I said, well, you know what? I'm going to produce a book and tell you how I did it, but you're not going to read the book because you're taking
exactly. And that's a good point. I mean, books are there to get inspiration for the future and to leave a legacy. And you said it's dedicated to your father as well. So that's a very, 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 very nice thing to do. Also, you have other books in the pipeline. What is that about?
So the third book I'm going to have is Toxic Leadership, one of the worst things I've ever had in my life. I've been to war. I've been to, like I said, many places. But the worst thing that ever happened to me was being thrown under the bus by some people in the military that were toxic to me. And I have built up a network of people who have come forward on toxic situations in the government and the military. And I'm forming it into a book that will be about what to do. You're not alone, how to deal with it, how to manage it, what to do in a hostile workplace, a wicked workplace. But that's going to be out August the 15th. And I have a little bit of that story in my first book, but this is totally about other people's stories, my story and others, in a storytelling style of what to do in just that type of situation.
Oh, thank you so much. And where can anyone find your books?
JasonPike.org. I have a website, JasonPike.org. It'll link you to Amazon. JasonPike.org will also link you to all the various social media that I have. They're on Amazon and other places, but that's where you can get me and get the books or see the blogs. I do inspirational blogs and see the other books that will come out in the future.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And I hope we will come back sometime in the future when the other books are out and we'll be able to talk more about them in future. And thank you, Donna, for joining us. I hope you've been able to learn one or two things, I mean, from what we've talked about. I know additions, we'll just ask them to put it in the chat. Okay.
Yeah. So Donna was there. She's going through some tough times. She's probably going to be going through the toughest times of her life in the next few weeks. And she will go to post-surgery. And that will be the toughest time of her life. She's already told me that. And we pray and hope that for the best for her, but not only just for her family that has to go through hell to see her while she goes through those procedures. But I've been supporting her as she goes under. She has some things in the chat box. Thank you for allowing to join the meeting today and blah, blah. Okay, wonderful. All right, Donna.
Thank you, Donna. Yeah, I hope everything goes well for you. I have a friend who went through, he's got two detached, what do they call the socket of his eye. Detached. So he's had to have one operation done today, and then he's going for another one in a couple of days. So I know it's not like cancer. My dad died of cancer, but you are here with us. Just stay positive, keep your hopes high, and just think of beautiful things. Things that, I mean, they say tough times don't last, but tough people do. So you are meant to go through these tough times, and tough times only build you up for the future. So I hope you get through everything that you are going through. I hope you survive everything. I hope you survive, the surgery. You just need to be prepared that this is what you want to come out of it. You're not going with a negative mindset. You have to be optimistic about it. So I hope everything works out for you as well. Okay. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure having to speak to you. And Donna is saying something there.
Staying positive.
Yeah. One, your story is one day in a bag. Of course, yes. Take one day at a time and you come out on the positive end of things and keep positive, okay? And thank you again for joining me, Jason. It's been
a
pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much.
A big thank you to all our listeners who have been sending us messages through the message link. I would like to thank everyone who has listened in so far and contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much. We couldn't have done anything without you. Keep listening, keep sharing, keep downloading, and keep liking. Thank you again.